Well, good morning, church family. We are grateful that you're with us today. We organize our year as Christians into three parts, and today is Trinity Sunday, which is the first of the third movement that we celebrate in the Christian calendar. We talk about these cycles, a cycle of light, where we anticipate the coming of the Lord, the cycle of life, where we see Jesus live and die and rise from the grave. And now we're entering the cycle of love, which is the season in which the church is called to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so Trinity Sunday kicks off that season because we are reminded that God is three and one. He is a person and a singular being that exists in community internally, and it is that God that's called us to faithfulness in Christ. I got a couple other things I want to talk about before we dive into Scripture this morning. The first is just kind of a heads up about the summer. So we've got two sermon series, two seven-week sermon series that we're going to be going through this summer. The first starts next week, and it's called The Temple. And from Genesis to Revelation, we're going to be exploring this metaphor of the temple as the place where a divine and holy God meets with his created beings, human beings, you and I. And the place that we encounter the Lord is often in the language of temple. And so we're going to be kind of following this theme throughout all of the scriptures and kind of recognizing that not only do we encounter God in the temple, but he's called us to be stewards of the temple. We're to be priests of the temple. And the job of a priest is to prepare the space so that others can also encounter the Lord. And so this is a really exciting. I've been kind of dreaming about this sermon series for a couple years and finally put it together, and we're excited about it. And if that wasn't exciting enough, following that sermon series, we're going to go through the book of Judges. So if you've been feeling very judgy lately, if you've been feeling the world is falling apart and everything seems like a dumpster fire, have we got a sermon series for you. We're going to be looking at the consequences when people choose to reject God's authority and leadership and they just choose to do whatever they feel is right in their own hearts. Some of that going around in the world today. And we've got some historical evidence about what happens when people choose to live that way. Spoiler alert, it's not good. But we're going to be excited to dive into both of those books together. Lainey already mentioned this, but I just wanted to say thank you to the kids specifically who showed up last Saturday to help with our Lifeline Christian Mission Food Packing Day. I think it's important when we have the kids in service to remind all of ourselves, remind the kids, remind ourselves that they are part of the church now. They're not just the church of the future, they're part of the church now. And they can follow and obey Jesus now. And they can contribute to his kingdom now. And some of you all were able to join in last Saturday by helping pack some food. And some of you also have been bringing in your tithe. We talk about kids, men, kids give. That's an opportunity for you all, whether it's allowance money, whether it's money you've gotten from chore, maybe you fleeced your neighbor on some issue. You've gotten money somehow, and now you want to give some of it to the church so that we can bless others in Jesus' name. And so each kids' Sunday, each fifth Sunday, we give you all an opportunity to choose where that money that you've raised goes. Now, I don't know if it was like you all were busy because of school and stuff like that. We have you raised less money than last time. That's fine. Whatever money that we have, we're going to give away. But we're expecting big things for quarter three. You've got all summer. You should be vacuuming. You should be washing cars, whatever you got to do. But here are your three options today, kiddos, for where the money can go. The first is an organization called WaterAid. This is an organization that works with local partners to provide clean drinking water, decent toilets, and good hygiene for people in the world's poorest countries. So they're just trying to get them that very basic need of water that's clean, that's not going to cause them to be sick. The other is a group called Reading is Fundamental, or RIF. They provide literacy training and books to kids, especially those who are in need, so that they can develop a love of learning and reading to push back against a literacy crisis that we're experiencing in the world. The third organization is called the Conservation Fund. It's a group that protects American lands, wildlife habitats, public access, and they are basically trying to make sure that we are stewarding creation well and providing clean and healthy places for everyone to encounter God's good earth, okay? So if you're a kid and you're here in this service, here are your three options. We're going to discern God's voice by having you tell us what you want, which is often how I discern God's voice in my house. Just ask the children what they want. So if you're a child and you would like us to give the tithe to the Water Aid group, put your hand in the air like you just don't care. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Okay. If you are a child, you can only vote once. So parents, moderate this. If you are a child and you want the money to go towards Reading is Fundamental, or RIF, put your hand up. This is how you feel about reading. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ooh, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Anybody there? Oh, 11. Got you, Allie. All right. And then the Conservation Fund. If you're a child and you would like us to see the money go to a conservation, get up a hand. Get way up. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, there is a second service. So let's not let the results of this service color it too much, because the last time I felt good about it after the first service, but then the cats won by a lot in the second service. Okay, well done. We'll report back on where the money went, and we're grateful for your hard work and that you are, like we said before, you're doing ministry now. If you're a little one and you're contributing, you're working now to the glory of Jesus, and we're grateful for that. Okay, we're going to be in Ephesians today, Ephesians chapter 4. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to be in verses 1 through 6. And again, this is this theme of Trinity Sunday, this theme that God is three, but God's one. And even though that really doesn't make a lot of sense, we declare it as a necessary and fundamental truth of knowing who God is. And this passage is going to kind of talk about that as well. Okay, you got it? Ephesians 4, we're on the book together. Verses 1 through 6. Here's the word of God for the people of God. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Parents, this is the Sunday before the Sunday of the summer break, so just keep bringing your kids back to this passage. This is our prayer for you this summer. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. May the Lord be blessed as we declare his word. Here's the great news. Number one, spring weather finally showed up to Ohio. Number two, this upcoming week is the last week of school. For Ashland City Schools, I should say. I don't know what you homeschoolers are doing. I suggest you end it at some point. And number three, the red barn is open, okay? 2026 summer glow up, okay? This is a story of the power of believing in yourself. We all know that for years it went by the moniker of the Red Barn, and it was nothing more than a cinder block shed. But it believed in itself, okay? You would have family come in from out of town. You'd be like, let's go to the Red Barn. And they'd show up and be like, this isn't a barn. You'd be like, shh, I can hear you. It's aspirational. It says one day that wants to have statues of cows outside. We're just going with it. We believe in you, buddy. Just goes to show that with Christ, all things are possible, you know? Have any of you been to the Red Barn yet? What's your favorite flavor? Somebody tell me. Tell me. Salted caramel? They have that there? What is it? There's 64 flavors now. What's your favorite flavor? We forgot. There's a lot of options. Harrison, what's your favorite flavor?
Cherry vanilla.
Cherry vanilla. Nice work, my man. Trey, what's your favorite flavor?
Birthday cake.
Birthday cake? Let's go. What about somebody else? Favorite flavor? Yeah, right here. Strawberry. That's cute. What about you? Cotton candy. That sounds very intense. Way, way in the back. I can see your hand. Moose tracks. What about you, buddy? What was it? Sounds delicious. What about you? Right here, tell me.
Superman.
Very good. Did any of you guys get down on the, what is it, the Cookie Monster Oreo? That's a good one. Okay. Well, that all sounds great to me. I really do think that there's something about this of, like, for a long time, it's identifying, it's believing, it's hoping to be a red barn, and then it actually happened. And I want to look at today's passage a little bit of, in that light, the idea that there might be something in us that, if expressed, results in us becoming more of who God's created us to be, us becoming more in alignment with who he says we're supposed to be. And so let's return to the passage this morning. And it opens up, I mentioned that it's the Apostle Paul, and he says that he's a prisoner. And being in prison might seem like a real waste of time. It might seem like there's not a lot to do. He's just kind of stuck. And there might be moments this summer where you feel stuck as a parent or a child. Like, I'm just here wishing that this next hour would be over, right? But Paul, importantly for us, doesn't view his arrest and his time in prison as a waste of time, because he believes fundamentally that he's a prisoner for the Lord. This is really critical, because Paul's saying, it doesn't matter actually what they do to me in my life. I can use any situation to live for Jesus and for his glory. And so as we consider what it means to be a people who are together, which is the point of this passage, the unity of the church, we are recognizing that no matter what season we find ourselves in, that is a season that we can be in for the Lord. You can be an accountant for the Lord. You can be a kid on summer break for the Lord. You could be in between jobs for the Lord. You can be in a season of abundance for the Lord. You can be in a really hard and dry and difficult season for the Lord. And the invitation for our whole community today is to recognize that no matter what season we're in, if we recognize that we can live in that place, whether it's a difficult or a delightful season, we can live it for Jesus. So in light of the fact that we live whatever season we're in for the Lord, Paul then says, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Every single person here has a calling. I don't know what it is specifically, but generally I know that your calling is to live as a child of light who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's a very powerful and important calling. And the invitation that Scripture presents us with is to live a life worthy of that calling. Maybe you have something that's precious to you. Maybe it's a trinket. Maybe it's an award you've won. Maybe it's something that you've spent a lot of money or time developing, and you have this thing. If you gave it to somebody else as a gift or an inheritance, and they treated it disrespectfully, it would probably bum you out, right? Like, hey, man, I worked really hard for that. I wish you would. You have received this calling on your life. So living a life that's worthy of that calling is important. We're reminded that if we are in the business of living life together in a community, in a family, then we're gonna have to be humble, gentle, patient, and bear with each other. There's no way around. Living with other humans is frustrating. They never do what you want all the time, even the best ones. And so your choice is to be frustrated, angry, to go away, to do life by your own, to find people that will just do whatever you want all the time, which seems like not real life. Or you can recognize that you're not the center of the world and try to extend grace. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That final sentence is going to be the goal of what follows. How do we keep the unity of the Spirit? How do we keep the peace? How do we establish togetherness in a world that is so determined to pull us apart and to set us against one another? Paul offers seven ways that we recognize that we are all connected as one. Think of them as seven pillars that are holding up this unity, union that God desires. And that three of the seven are three persons of the Trinity. So, how do we remain unified with God and with one another in a world that's fractured and divided and divisive? You don't have to look very far to see people constantly turning against one another. You don't have to spend a lot of time outside before you realize folks are really upset with one another. They're antagonistic toward each other. And it would be, that's disappointing. It's even more disappointing that oftentimes we find that's also true within the church. So how do we hold everything together? Well, we recognize how we're all held together as one. So Paul starts this next section by saying there's one body. By that, he means the church. One body, many parts. He uses this analogy in other places, 1 Corinthians, the book of Romans. One body. And the design of that metaphor is that implicitly we recognize we're all connected with one another. Right? Neck bones connected to the other bones. We belong to each other. We're all connected. We wouldn't say to our hand, if our hand wasn't doing its job, I wish you'd get out of here. And so we recognize that there's one body, that's the church, one Spirit. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit that Tyler talked about yesterday. The church and the Spirit go together. The Spirit births the church at Pentecost, and the Spirit sustains the church in this season. We can't have one without the other. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit, there is no church. We're still divided. We're still disconnected with Christ and from one another. But when the Spirit comes, oh, now we have access to God through Christ. Oh, now we can understand one another. We can forgive one another. We can walk alongside each other. We have one hope. And that's a hope for eternal life, that this life is not all that there is, that this current circumstances we find ourselves is not all there is, that there's more. We have one Lord, that's Jesus. He's the one who came and revealed God's heart to us. One faith and one baptism. We're born into this new community by repenting of our own old sinful past. We recognize that living selfishly isn't getting us very far. And so we choose to have faith in something larger than ourselves, and we decide to die to the old way of living, always demanding our way, and we say yes to a new way of living, surrendering our hearts and our lives to be servants. And we have one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. Summertime is a great time of dispersing. Even in my own home, we've got all of our calendars, and there are going to be weeks where some people are over here and weeks where some people are over here and weeks where we're all together somewhere else. And yet the heart of what it means to be in Christ, the heart of Christianity itself, is that God exists in perfect community. So even as we're going and doing and traveling and experiencing different things as individuals, we're always coming back to the fact that we share one story, we're a part of one family, and that God is moving in and through all of us. The heart of Trinity Sunday is a recognition that at the very beginning, at the center of Christianity, is mystery. We don't understand the Trinity. Not really. And that's kind of what it means to be a finite human being. A few weeks ago, I said, if you want to see me, you could show up at these various places that I would be throughout the day. And sure enough, some of you took me up on that, and you showed up at Goldberry, where I get coffee. And one of those persons was Anna Sorellis. Anna, can you wave back there? Hello, Anna. And she said, I have a question for you. And the question was, where did God come from? Like, what? He obviously had a beginning. What was before God? Is that an articulate summary of your question, Anna? Okay, yeah, she said yes. And I was like, great, great question. And the fundamental claim of Christianity is that unlike anything else in the universe, there was no time before God. That God exists in eternity, outside of time and reality as we know it. And it's a mystery. You're not meant to really get it. And yet, we hold it as a fundamental, essential truth to understanding the nature of God. And I love that that's a core part of Christianity, that it takes the most educated and intelligent and eloquent among us, and it reduces us down to children ourselves. Because basically we're confronted with, you're just not gonna get it. God is beyond comprehension. He's beyond time. And yet, consider that. Difficult to get your head around to begin with. And then consider that same God who spoke the cosmos into existence, who has always been, that same God knows your name, knows the amount of hairs on your head, knows you're sleeping and you're rising and you're walking and you're going, knows the words that before they come out of your mouth. And that God desires to know you and love you and hold you for eternity. It's intimidating because fundamentally it's beyond what we can understand, but it's so comforting because what we see in Christianity is this truth. Even though God is beyond our comprehension, he's also in Christ and through the Spirit closer than our next breath. So the invitation for all of us in this season is to hold on to Christ together, which might require us to become a little more childlike, a little more accepting of wonder, a little more willing to forgive, a little more delighted in the power and the mystery of it all. It's such a beautiful day because we did child dedication with some cute babies. We did high school senior recognition, which is they're also babies and we're releasing them into the world. And then after the second service, we have a legacy lunch, which is all of the people who are barely hanging on to life. My favorite group. They're like, we're not eating lunch with you anymore, actually. You're not invited. And I just love the spectrum of like, God has been faithful from the moment they were born to the moment they're starting out in a new journey of life. And as the twilight years, as we're retired, as we're celebrating grandkids, as we're looking back on life and looking forward to eternity, God's faithful in those seasons too. And all of it, you put all of that together, all of that brokenness, all of that joy, all of that incompleteness, you put it all together, and that's the church. That's what we're called to be a part of. May we live a life worthy of the calling we have received by holding on to Christ and one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Trinity Sunday, we are so grateful that we are invited into mystery and wonder when we're invited to a relationship with you. We're celebrating today. We're celebrating new life. We're celebrating new seasons of life. We're celebrating how you've been faithful over a lifetime. And God, we're recognizing in our world, there are so many people and powers and authorities who are constantly trying to pull us away from each other and turn us against one another. And instead of being fractured and isolated, we choose to be unified in Christ, recognizing that our Father is over all and through all and in all, and he holds all things together. So help us hold together through faith and love, through our hope, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through our confession of the Lordship of Christ. Help us hold together so that we might encounter you more. We pray this all in Jesus' eternal and powerful name, and God's people said, amen and amen.